Okay, praise the Lord. How's everyone tonight? Blessed and going to be more and more blessed every day. Amen? Amen. That's what I'm believing. Everyone should have gotten a handout, and today's lesson is called What Faith Is and What Faith Is Not. And we're going to do a four-part series on getting us all from the faith level where we're at now to the next step. Amen? So it doesn't matter if you've been serving God for 50 years, you've been serving God for 5 years or 5 minutes, we're all going to grow to where God wants us to be. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so the overview says, this teaching will help you to understand what is the difference between what faith is and what faith is not. Instead of assuming that you are operating in faith, you will learn how to confidently activate true biblical faith. Okay? So you don't have to raise your hands for this question to answer it, but how many of us had thought we really were operating in faith and everything just got all messed up and it didn't work out? Don't have to raise your hand. We're all human, right? Don't we blow it? You know, except for Jesus, the only perfect person, right? And we're trying to be more like him. So how many of you have seen God do awesome things in your life? You can raise your hand on this one or both hands. Okay. And if you're not raising your hand, I'll pray for you after church so you could see that as well. But if you pay attention to the lesson, those of you that, you know, aren't raising your hand yet, you will be able to after, okay? So God is going to show you even greater things than what you've experienced before. So this is going to be a very exciting series. Amen? Now, I always use this example for you that are sports fans will get it more than not sports fans. But every year, the sports athletes, no matter how good they are, they're all required to do mandatory retraining and go back through the fundamentals every single spring. Now, one guy might be kind of arrogant and say, but I'm the MVP, the most valuable player. I'm the Heisman Trophy winner. Or I, you know, did that great, awesome, you know, thing on the team so that we could now have won the World Series or whatever it is. And he could say, well, I'm going to stay home because I'm better than the rest of those people. Well, they would cut his contract or her contract and they would have to stay home and not come back. See, every year, even the best of the best have to go back to the fundamentals. So this series is called The Fundamentals to Activate Faith. Okay, so every week for 4 weeks, that's what we're going to be studying the Word of God to show ourselves a workman that is approved and need not be ashamed, right? So A, what faith is? Number one, the Bible's definition of faith we find in Hebrews 11, 1. So if you want to go on your iPads or your phones or notepads or in our basic great Holy Bible, nothing better than the printed word. And let's look that up. We're going to start with the King James, which to us is the most accurate version. And it says in Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then we're going to go through Moffat's version, which reads, now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. C says the New English Bible version, now faith is being sure of what we hope for, being convinced of what we do not see. Are you getting the picture? And D, the Amplified version reads, now faith is the assurance, which is the confirmation, the title deed of ownership of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So you can't feel faith. So if someone says, you know, I just don't feel the anointing today. Maybe it's not here. But then other people are getting blessed. See, we can't go by that. We have to know that when you do not forsake the assembly of the brethren, that we have all come together corporately, that we are obeying God. He, God, inhabits the praises of his people. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High. So we know the anointing is present with us because we have worshiped, we've confessed our sins. There aren't any barriers. We let the Holy Spirit reign freely. So it doesn't matter what I feel or you feel, we just have to believe by faith that God is present. Amen? Okay, and number two, faith is in the present or past tense. As we see in Hebrews 11:1, it says now, that's right now, currently, faith is. So you know, teachers understand that that is a verb, is, and that means that is an ongoing thing at this moment, okay? And three, faith believes that you receive, Mark 11:24. And it says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall maybe get them someday. Did your version say that?
No.
I try to trick you and you guys are too smart. Okay, so you shall have them. Number four, Merriam-Webster's definition of faith, which is a noun. A says belief and trust in and loyalty to God. B, belief in the traditional doctrines of a religion. C, firm belief in something for which there is no what? Proof. D, complete trust, something that is believed especially with strong conviction without question. Isn't it interesting that God used Merriam-Webster, that number one, to say belief and trust and loyalty to God in a secular dictionary? I think that's kind of cool, right? And some people might be thinking, oh my goodness, you don't know what I did to get to service tonight, and now we're just going to be teaching faith again? I've already heard it over and over. That's not you, but maybe somebody else besides you might be thinking that, right? And so remember what Kenneth Hagin said when all the students were at Rhema, and almost every single class, every single service, every single year, for over 65 years, he preached on faith. None of us were ever bored. Now the freshmen came in and they're the ones grumbling. What do you mean? I got to hear this thing again. Oh, and they'd start to tune out. And then someone asked Kenneth Hagin and said, why are you teaching faith again? Can you teach something else? When are we going to get something else? He says, as soon as you get it, as soon as you understand it. And so then they were, you know, a lot of them, you know, sacrificed to get to school. They were working full time as well as going to Bible school, and they were scrimping. They were eating top ramen, and because they really wanted spaghetti, would get the little ketchup packets at McDonald's and put it on their top ramen. You know, I don't know if you've been there, done that, but instead of the soup portion, you know, tired of the, you know, opening up the packet of the ramen stuff, they put the ketchup on instead, you know. They'd get free crackers at the salad bar at the restaurant and get peanut butter, and they'd have that for their next meal, you know, that kind of stuff. And then they were looking at the sophomores, the second years, and saying, well, there's 2 years, you know, at Rhema at that time. And so that was like freshman and senior. We didn't have 4 years. Yeah, so sophomore would be like, you know, the graduating class that's being prepared. And you saw them having new cars, a house to live in. They were prospering. They were eating good meals and inviting the first-year students over. Thank God! They were getting it. See, it got turned around. And they weren't sick. A lot of them didn't have to go to doctors because there was no need. And so the first-year students were still dealing with a lot of challenges. And if I have one challenge in my life, my faith is not yet where it needs to be. See what I mean? Why we have to keep studying this subject? It's so important because I want to get everything that God has for me. Remember that example I used last time? The owner of a diamond mine, he doesn't every day go to work and said, oh my goodness, I have to go in that same mine over and over and over again. But every time he goes in, digs deeper, he gets a bigger diamond. Next time he goes in, a bigger diamond, right? But he had to work for it. It just didn't come easy. So we have to learn how to work our faith. But first of all, we got to find out what it is to a greater degree so that we can go to the next level. So this is spring training. We're going to go back to the fundamentals. And so we don't want to miss anything. Kenneth Hagin said, I'm taking you up the mountain of faith, and each time it's a different perspective of that mountain. See? So beginners on the bunny slope on a ski slope, very many of them don't make it downright that black diamond lane. They end up looking like a snowball at the bottom of the hill, right? So they need to graduate, okay? So that wherever we are on that mountain, we're going to graduate to another level after reviewing our fundamentals and seeing what fresh perspective God's going to give each and every one of us. Amen? Okay, so B, what faith is not? Faith is not acting foolish. Proverbs 9:6. Forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. So people who are smart and not foolish get understanding. They get wisdom. So we're going to get more wisdom now, okay? B, Merriam-Webster's definition of foolish, which is an adjective, is lacking in sense, judgment, or discretion, absurd, ridiculous, marked by a loss of composure, or insignificant. Here's an example. It's not having good judgment or discretion if someone is discontinuing to take insulin when the person was needing it when the blood sugar is still high, okay? Or D, another example, discontinuing to take insulin while under a doctor's authority and care, because God is going to prove it when your faith grows that the doctor will say, man, you don't need to take as much insulin. I'm going to lower your dosage. Because what? The dosage of the gospel was being increased so the insulin can be decreased, right? And so we're going to up our dosage on faith and get us where we need to be. Do you know that faith is as small as the mustard seed? That's how it started. How many of us believe in Jesus? And all we needed was a mustard seed size faith. Now, if you think of a period at the end of a sentence, that's like the size of a mustard seed or a dot on an I. So when God says that we have everything provided for, it means God said it. I believe it. End of story. Period. Just like what's on my fingers. Those little dots are the size of a mustard seed. And so, period. I believe it. So I want you to get your fingers out and you're going to see that your faith can fit on that finger when you first believed in Jesus and you tell the devil, God's word said it, I believe it, end of story, Period. See this finger, devil? Stick your finger in the devil's face with that mustard seed on there of where you started. That's a reminder to the devil of where you started. And the mustard bush is a bush in America, in the United States. But when Jesus was talking about the mustard seed, he was talking about a Mediterranean mustard tree. And it is as big as a 1.5 to 2-story building. That's mountain moving faith. And so where am I? Am I a little sapling? Am I a young tree? Do I need to grow more branches? Am I 40 feet tall? Wherever I am, God's way up there. I could keep growing till I get to him, right? To his level. We need to keep growing our faith. Amen? Number two, faith is not in the future tense. A, example. Here's an incorrect affirmation. I will be healed by the stripes of Jesus. That means that you'll never get to that future point. Okay? There was this man who for about 40 years, because he was in World War II, and bomb flew by him, and his buddy said, duck! So, of course, he didn't say why. You know, so he ducked. So faith is hearing and doing, right? And so he said, as he was going down, he saw the letters on that bomb. When it exploded, it injured him, and he lost parts in his ear. And so that one ear was deaf, and they had to do surgery. They had to put parts back in surgically. But then years later, because that was in the MASH unit, you know, in the Army, and years later, those parts were out. So they had to take them out, and it was just too expensive and whatever to get another surgery to put those parts back in. So for 40 years, I believe it was 40 years or over 40 years, he was confessing the Word of God. He had gotten saved, and he saw that in 1 Peter 2:24. He believed it, and he kept confessing. My ear will be healed by the stripes of Jesus. Like 15, 20, 100 times a day. My ear will be healed by the stripes of Jesus. Never got his hearing. And so one day I said, well, what are you praying? And he told me, and I said, well, let's try it the Bible way. So let's go to the next one, B. We're under almost at the bottom of page one, under number two, B. Example, correct affirmation. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So we, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That's a direct quote from the Bible. That is past tense. So if I was healed because of what Jesus did at the cross for me and you, the devil can never take from you something you already have. If you confess, I'm gonna get it, you can't, because you already were given it. But if you believe it's out there, when I get to the future's always in front of me. I can't ever catch up with the future. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm trying to catch up with the future. It's always ahead of me. But if I see that what Jesus did for me at the cross means that I have every thing I need. All my needs have been met. It is mine. It's title deed. Nobody in hell can take that from you or me. Amen? And so then I said, well, let's just do 20 affirmations together. And we all said it as a group. He said, my ear has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we said his name. You have been healed by the stripes of Jesus simultaneously for the corporate anointing. Just 20 times. Over 40 years. confessing the scripture, didn't get healing. Now he has no parts in the ear, right? He's missing parts. 20 affirmations because the anointing was so strong. But he'd also received much training. At that point, he had how many years of training with the ministry with us?
Four or five.
Four or five. Every week without fail, he was hearing the word of God on faith as we were teaching him every year. So he did his homework. He did his part. He came. He was under the anointing. He was receiving the teaching. Do you see what I'm saying? So it was easy for him, just 20. Instantly, he started crying. I said, I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, did I like offend this man? No. No. I said, why are you crying? He goes, because I can hear. He was so excited. I'm like, praise God. Let me check it out. Let's see what level of manifestation. I believed it was true, but I wanted to see if did he get the complete thing right now, or do we need to do some affirmations, you know? So I went way in the back. I said, don't look at me. You look forward. I'm going to go in back of you. And I whispered without a microphone. So I said, repeat what I'm saying. Jesus is my healer. And he goes, Jesus is my healer. And we're all like, yeah, jumping up and down, right? It was really, really fun. So that was a really cool lesson for him. And he said, wow, something that simple. Hosea 4:6, my people perish or are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So every time I study the word, I get excited what other treasures we're going to dig deep to get. Amen? Okay. And C, we're at the bottom of page one. Number two, C, I hope, but in this sense means kind of wish. So let's say instead of hope, we're going to use the word wish. I wish it will happen versus someone says, I believe it has already happened and I know God's word is true. Which one is in faith? A, the person A or person B? Person B for believer. Ha ha, you got it. Right? I believe it has already happened and I know God's word is true. Now, he was doing those affirmations and he didn't see any change, but he believed it. When he saw where he needed to correct himself. See, that's why we shouldn't be offended when people correct us. He made that alignment change. He aligned himself better with the word of God. See, if we're out of alignment, then, you know, like if there's a hose and you have to hook it up to the faucet and it's out of alignment, and then you're over here where you're trying to wash your car, and then just a couple drops come out and you're expecting a big spray to wash your car down, you're like, what? So you go back to the faucet and you see something has slipped off. Most of the water is going out, not into the hose. That's misalignment. So we can't get all the blessings. We can't get all the manifestation because the rivers of living water are not flowing to where it needs to go. So we have to correct ourselves through the Holy Spirit teaching us, or the anointed teachers of the body of Christ, or the pastors. And so why get offended when they say, hey, some guy's going by and say, your hose is leaking. Oh my gosh, I'm going to leave now because I'm so offended. I'm never coming back here. Well, why'd you just like screw it in tighter? Oh, yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? The devil wants us to get bent out of shape so we don't get more blessings if we get corrected and align ourselves. Who does he or she think he or she is telling me what to do, huh? Well, you know, you got a water hose like this. It's not going to be spraying anything. But when it starts spraying, it's power. Those power nozzles. It's the same water's coming in the neighbors, but you got a power nozzle because it's filtering it directly like a powerful stream. Same water pressure as the neighbor, but his is, and your power nozzle is, you can get that car washed faster. He's taking 2 hours over there and 10 minutes. I'm done. Mine looks better. That power wash even disinfects. some of the things because it gets the stuff off, you know. Birds drop stuff, you know, and that power thing. See what I'm saying? I want God's power to come fully through me from heaven. If my faith is aligned with heaven correctly, I'm going to see more power and authority in my walk, and so are you. Amen? No limp hoses around here, right? Hallelujah. Power nozzles around here. So, and the next part, see, the one person saying, I hope it's going to happen. And the other person's like, I believe it's already happened. And I know God's word is true. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care if that nozzle is just dripping water. I know that God said that I have power. I know God said that I have my healing. I know that God's word said that he has supplied all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I know that God said it. It's done it. Then, period. Remember, period. Devil. Remind the devil, right? And so, then I have received it because you have made a faith bridge from heaven to earth. And you're keeping your bridge up there so that the manifestation could come into reality what you already know you have in the spirit realm. Because it's yours by title deed. You own it. Your name's on it. No one can take it from you. Amen? So it doesn't matter what it looks like or doesn't look like. Because remember, it's what we do not see, but it's there. You got to believe it. Have that conviction, right? So now let's go to page 2. At the top of the page, number 3, faith is not hope. Heart versus mind. So, A, faith is that which brings your hope into reality. Faith and hope are two different things, okay? So, B, now faith is the substance of the things what? Hope for. And that is what tense? Past tense. So, which came first, hope or faith? See how smart you guys are? Hope came first. But see, a lot of people stay in hope, mistakenly thinking it's faith. And we're going to make sure that we're not hoping for some things. Now, when God did amazing things in your life, you were walking in faith correctly at that time. But are there other areas in our lives that we haven't seen the manifestation yet? We need to analyze how we need to improve that. Okay? So you know what faith feels like. Now we're going to take it up a notch, okay? Number 4, faith is not doubt and unbelief. These demons love to attack people, especially right when the word is sown, because they want to come and try to steal it from us and bring that doubt and unbelief. So that seed has to be planted in good soil. That's why we constantly have to confess our sins. So we're taking the rocks out of that field, stony hearts or whatever things that the world did to us, hurts and wounds and all that kind of stuff, so that when the seed is planted, it's in better soil. Because if a seed is planted among the rocks, it may not take root, right? Okay, so A, in Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever, it means anybody that believes, right, shall say unto this mountain of problems, I'm going to paraphrase it, personalize it, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his or her heart, but shall believe that those things which he or she saith shall come to pass. So here's the belief, and he shall have whatsoever he saith. But I said it right. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, so what's up? I'm still waiting for the manifestation. I believe I have my healing. Well, that person went to the doctor and had to fill out the form. It says, where do you still have problems? And wrote down a whole bunch of stuff. Just canceled their prayer right there. Wow. We don't realize. I doubt and unbelief tries to come in. Or after you get completely healed from a back pain, go home and the next morning you wake up and there's like, that pain's back and now it's worse than yesterday. And they took the bait and they're like, hello, boss. I can't come to work today. Why? My back hurts. Just canceled more prayer. Do you see what I'm saying? That's a lie of the devil. Because if God said it, I believe it, it's done. That's that. Period. I don't care what is being thrown at me. That's all a lie. The devil wants to try to get me to think it's back and I'm not going to take it. And so it's all a smokescreen. It's a war game in our minds. We have to tell the devil, look at my face, Seed. It's really grown. Look where it used to be. And with this finger, I could do lots of stuff to put you under my feet. Right? I'm not taking it. That's a lie from the pit of hell. I don't care what your body feels like. The word of God supersedes fact and changes it. And then we have to receive it, believe it, and not cancel it. So we got to start analyzing our mouth, analyzing our words, and catching ourselves all the time and saying, okay, I make null and void and cancel those words in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive me for doubt and unbelief because I didn't realize that was doubting your word. I didn't realize I was giving into the enemy's lie. I'm not going to believe it anymore in Jesus' name because the truth is I'm the healed, getting the manifestation of my healing. I don't care what the body says. I say, body, line up to the word of God. My spirit is aligned with the Holy Spirit. So I command my heart, soul, mind, and body to line up every day to the word of God in the name of Jesus. And so it's going to do what I tell it to do. I'm not going to do what my body tells me to do. Because who do I want leading me, the Holy Spirit or my body? I don't want to be in the flesh, you know? It's easier to say, boss, I'm not coming in today. I'm going to stay in bed. But if that person had to get out of bed and have to hold on to the walls to get to the bathroom and to the shower, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. My back has been healed by the stripes of Jesus, right? You go to work, what's wrong with you? I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Doesn't matter what I look like, what I feel like, I could do some paperwork. You got to walk it through. You got to walk it through. You got to push yourself and push your body. You know, soldiers, they do not want to get up at oh dark 30 when they're training. They don't want to be running through the mud and muck. They don't want to be starving for 5 days because their K rations are eaten up, but they're out there to help us and they're fighting the good fight of faith and doing their job. We got to fight the good fight of faith. It may not be easy, but don't give up because you are a victor. You are more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Just don't give up. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so B, 4B. Mark 6:6 says, and he marveled, Jesus marveled because of their what? Unbelief. He was like, what? That's Karen's translation. What's wrong with those people? They've been listening to the Sermon on the Mount. They've been listening to me preach and teach, and they still have unbelief, is what I'm thinking. Jesus might have been thinking. He maybe didn't say it, but he basically marveled. He was like surprised because they were not getting it. And he went around about the villages teaching. What do you think he was teaching on? Jesus, why do you keep teaching on faith? Till you get it, right? Number 5, faith is not assumption nor presumption. Well, it kind of sort of means the same thing, but not, okay? So, to assume is a verb. To think that something is true or probably true without knowing that it's true. And the difference is that presumption basically has the same definition. They both mean to take something for granted, but presumption has an authoritative audacity kind of attitude, is that, oh, well, I just thought it was implied, and so I'm just going to move ahead without getting authorization or verification of that fact, and I'm just going to act as if it were true. And people who are in assumption, well, first part of the word starts with A-S-S, and then you, umption, you know? So it makes them into people who should be smarter, right? So the presumptuous person is worse than the assumption, right? So it's something that we don't want to do, in other words. So I don't want to be assuming or presuming, okay? I don't want to be foolish. I want to be smart. And Jesus said that we have the mind of Christ. So whenever I blow it, I go to him. I said, where was there a foolish mistake or an assumptive mistake or a presumptive mistake? Or was I in hope instead of faith? Okay. So what is hope? Okay. This isn't on your notes, but you can write this down, that hope is a glad expectation. So you have your desired hope, the object of what you're expecting to receive from God. The faith is the bridge you need to bring it from heaven to earth, knowing that it's already yours. And when you keep that faith bridge sustained, then you're believing it's already yours, and you know the word of God is true. You know that you know that you know that you know, so your knower knows, right? That's how you get the manifestation of your prayer. That's how you get the manifestation of your healing. That's how you look at your checkbook that might be in the minuses, and you call those things that are not as though they were. I say my checkbook is full in the name of Jesus. I say that money comes abundantly every day to us. Every day. We're getting $1,000 checks. Money comes every day to us in some way, shape, or form. Because I believe it. I've received it. Devil, period. Right? I don't care if 1 week the checkbook isn't looking so hot. I'm not going to believe it. Okay? We don't want to be doubting Thomas's, like in John 20, 25 through 29. You can look it up later to refresh your memory. We all know the story. But when you refresh your memory, he didn't believe till he saw with his eyes. The devil tries to make us be like that. I don't see any change. Maybe my prayers aren't working. And then discouragement tries to come in. No, 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 no. That's the snare of the devil. Keep going. You're doing well. Keep on. Okay? I'm encouraging you. Don't give up. You're almost there. Blessed are those that believe and have not seen. That's all of you. And 1 Corinthians 13:3, you can write this down. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, and love. These three, but the greatest is charity. They're all different. So if someone says, well, how are you doing? Well, I'm a hoping and a praying. That's actually doubt and unbelief. They're never going to get anything because they think they're in faith. I'm waiting on God. See, they're not activating their faith. This is why we're going to see how can we activate our faith to a greater power nozzle degree, right? Okay. You can't substitute one for the other. You can't be hoping when you're supposed to be in faith, and you can't be walking in hope when you're supposed to be walking in love, all right? Now, 1 John 3:3 says, and every man that has this hope which is a glad expectation, in him, Jesus, purifieth himself, even as he, God, is pure. Your hope of the glad expectation is purifying you because you know Jesus is coming back again, and we are preparing ourselves to be ready for the Master to use in a greater degree. Ushering in the second coming of our Messiah. We are in exciting days. Am I scared of ISIS? Look at my fingers, ISIS! Oh no! I started with the faith of the mustard seed, and I say to the mountain of problems, you will not touch me or my household in Jesus' name. I don't care what happens. Amen. And so we believe that Jesus is coming back in Titus 2:13. Look for that and the glorious appearing of the blessed hope of our Savior, Jesus Christ, our great God. That's our glad expectation. That's our hope. Amen. And the things that we expect that we have already believed by faith that we've received. All the resources of heaven are ours, preparing us for the work of the kingdom of God. Now, Romans 4:17-21. I love this. It says, God is talking. I have made thee, Abraham, he's talking to Abraham, father of many nations. Now, this man's 100 years old. You think that it might have been challenging for him to get out of bed and go find a bush in the morning because they didn't have bathrooms or latrines at 100? It wasn't like, you know, when he was 20 years old, he could hop out of bed. You see what I'm saying? And now God says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. He's probably thinking, wow, a lot of crying kids, man. Do I have to get up in the middle of the night and feed those kids? I mean, it's a lot of work. All right. And so before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, who raises the dead. So he's telling Abraham, I raise the dead. What's he doing? He's raising his faith level because Abraham is now putting himself in the hands of dead raising God. Think about when he was hearing this. Wow, my God raises dead. Cool. Okay. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. So now, after he heard that, Abraham stood up a little straighter. You know? Who against hope believed in hope. Now his expectation was getting gladder. Because it was a shame to not have an heir. Doesn't matter how wealthy they were, if they did not have a son to carry on their lineage, that means their clan would be wiped out. This was very important to carry on his family name. Who against hope believed in hope. So it didn't matter what other people said, he was believing in God and gave him hope, and he could stand up stronger. And he, Abraham, might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. He believed the spoken word. It was then put into motion when it was spoken. So shall thy seed be. Do you see a period in your Bible? Because I do right there. It was done. And being not weak in faith, so he received that word into his spirit where it gestated and grew. It was the form of a seed that God planted right here when he talked to him. And that seed grew and grew every time he heard his name. Abraham, can you take out the garbage? Yeah, I'm the father of many nations. I'll get that garbage for you. Hopping out of bed now. Change his perspective. Okay. And being not weak in what? Faith. He considered not his own body now, present tense, dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he had faith for both of them because she had to grow in hers because she laughed when she heard it, right? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he believed that Sarah would come around. That's why he didn't worry, all right? But was strong in faith, just like God's making us stronger in faith as we give glory to God, and being somewhat partially persuaded. No, it doesn't say that. Fully, that full power of that jet stream being aligned with heaven was flowing through him now, not the little trickles and drops of which doubt and unbelief could easily take away. Fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, God, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imparted or given a credit to Abraham for righteousness. Verse 22. He was given the credit for righteousness. So, use your fingers this week. That's your assignment. Put that in the devil's face. You got to put little dots on your fingers. That's good. Remind him your faith level, because this dot means that you believed in an unseen God. You believed in somebody that you never saw in your life, died at the cross and was raised from the dead. You believe that without seeing it with your own eyes, and you believe that you are a child of God and you serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you had that kind of faith, the mustard seed faith to receive Jesus and Lord and Savior, honey, you stick your finger in the devil's face every day and you tell him to get back under your feet, because you are more than a conqueror, a super conqueror. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Are you excited about next week? Next week, we're going to talk about why the eyes of faith are necessary. You're going to be able to see in the spirit realm better next week.